Tonight we'll continue our study through an Orthodox catechism and the Eighth Commandment, looking at the negatives. What does it mean to break the commandment? Lord willing, in 2 weeks, what does it mean to keep the commandment? So, do not steal is the negative. Work and provide for yourselves and others generously is the positive. Recently, the application of this commandment has come into a new sphere, that of preaching. The new president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Ed Litton, after he was elected within a week or so, it came to light that he had been borrowing and preaching, as if it was his own, significant portions of another man's sermon, J.D. Greer, who happened to be the previous president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And someone on the internet took the sermons of Ed Litton and then spliced them with the sermons of J.D. Greer on the same text and showed where one said pretty much the same thing and the other said the same thing. And he gave no credit to J.D. Greer. He said he talked to him if he could take some of his material and he gave him permission, but he never said that. And it even got to the point where some of J.D. Greer's own personal illustrations were then retold by Ed Litton as if they were his personal illustrations. And then there were some times where J.D. Greer made mistakes in the text, and Ed Litton made those same mistakes, like of numerical value, showing that he just took and did not even really study for himself. And it looks like there are at least 40 sermons. And so videos kept coming out and there was pressure for him to resign, but it never came about. And then it also showed that he plagiarized a sermon by Tim Keller that came from the early 1990s that was found. And then other stories came out of pastors who had done the same thing who were then fired from their churches because they were plagiarizing from these big name pastors and presenting sermons as if they were their own work and their own study, when in fact they were plagiarizing those things. They were stealing other people's ideas as if they were their own. So that is what we're going to talk about, stealing. Stealing material possessions, stealing thoughts, and not attributing to others. And that is the Eighth Commandment. You shall not steal. Exodus 20:15, Deuteronomy 5:19, Leviticus 19:11. Jesus talks about this. Matthew 19:18, Romans 13:9. Now the list goes on and on that we should not steal. So what does God forbid in the Eighth Commandment? We read this, then we'll break it down into subsequent parts. Not only those thefts and robberies which the magistrate ought to punish, but whatever evil tricks and devices where we seek after the goods of others and endeavor with force or with some form of deceit to convey them to ourselves. These include false weights, false or uneven measurements, false advertisement, counterfeit money, exorbitant interest, or any other way or means of benefiting ourselves which God has forbidden. To these we may add all covetousness and the manifold waste and abusing of God's gifts. So let's look at this. First, the most simple way that this command is teaching us is that we should not steal personally. You shouldn't go and steal a candy bar. You shouldn't get gas and then run off and not pay. We shouldn't cheat on our taxes. We should pay for what we owe and not steal. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, 9 and 10 says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality." Now, those are the ones that really stand out to us. But then the next one is, "nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So if you are an unrepentant thief, you are not a part of the kingdom of God. These other practices, we would say, well, that is terrible. That is something that we maybe even as a society long ago, but maybe not now, would used to see as being wicked and evil. But somehow there are these other areas where stealing may be seen as good. Of course, what was Judas? One of the apostles who betrayed Jesus. For 3 years, he was a thief from the money bag. It says in John 12, verse 6, when he objected to the expensive perfume being put on Jesus, John comments that he said this, not because he cared about the poor. Remember, he said, why don't we just sell the perfume and give it to the poor? No. That was a veneer of piety. But because he was a thief and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was in it. So he was trying to say, no, don't put that on Jesus because we want to keep it to sell it to the poor. Well, he wanted to sell it so that he could have more money to steal. So we see that thievery is something that this objects to. This also objects to the stealing that takes place when the government steals from others. It's not just individual to individual, but it's government to individuals. Ezekiel 45, verse 9 says, thus says the Lord God, enough, O princes of Israel, put away violence and oppression and execute justice and righteousness. Cease your evictions of my people, declares the Lord God. So they were evicting them for wrong means. They were stealing their abodes where they were staying. Fast forward to now, and I would argue that the CDC saying that there should be no more evictions, a moratorium by the landlords, is stealing from the landlords. Because they're not able to get the money that is owed them by the contract that was signed for renting because of government intervention. To a greater extreme, we've seen this in Russia with communism, and China, or even just parts of socialism, where the grand idea is that the people rise up, take the money from the rich, and redistribute it to everyone, so that everyone has the same. Of course, there's always some who are more equal than others. But the idea is that you do not have private property rights. Yet the whole command, you shall not steal, assumes that there are private property rights. That it's legal and just in God's economy for people, individuals, to own and have possessions, and to take that by force is stealing, whether it's the government or others. Another example of stealing is using false weights or advertisements or anything above, or exorbitant interest. Deuteronomy 23, 19 and 20 says, you shall not charge interest on loans to your brother, interest on money, interest on food, interest on anything that is lent for interest. You may charge a foreigner interest, but you may not charge your brother interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all that you undertake in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. So we see the prohibition of a private to private of interest in Israel, when it was a brother to brother. But if a foreigner was coming, you could charge interest. This isn't taking consideration if maybe you had someone that wasn't a foreigner, or it wasn't a private to private. And this envisions when a neighbor of yours loses his crop because of maybe disease, famine, lack of water, and he needs help to get to the next crop. And he's in need, so since he's in need, you swoop in and take advantage and charge interest and clean his clock. Instead, you're supposed to show help to him and not charge interest. Now today, we have payday loans. We have pay sharks that charge 20% interest. You have credit cards that charge exorbitant interest, and are taking advantage of people and are preying upon people to steal from them in these ways. But it gets even worse. Proverbs 20, verse 10 says, "Unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord." Proverbs 11, 1, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." Proverbs 16, 11, "A just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are His work." So some people in business will tip the scales. They'll put their thumb on the scale so that they don't have to give out as much and that they would make a profit off of that. Or they make the scales automatically wrong. So what you think you're getting is a pound might be a couple ounces less. That way, over the course of time, they're making money. They're charging a pound, but you don't get your pound that you want. And people have all these sneaky ways to try to get and steal. The government right now, we're seeing, is creating unjust scales through inflation. When you pump all kinds of money into the economy, then people who have long-term contracts that are set at a certain scale, immediately those contracts for wages is devalued because of the money that's coming in and the inflation that takes place. And if it's a couple of years out and there's no mechanism for it to rise with the rising of inflation, then they're losing money. I want to read you this quote by the former chairman, Ben Bernanke. He said this, "In due course, however, as the expansion matures, the Federal Reserve will need to begin to tighten monetary conditions to prevent the development of inflationary pressures. Although at present the U.S. economy continues to require the support of highly accommodative monetary policies, at some point the Federal Reserve will need to tighten financial conditions by raising short-term interest rates and reducing the quantity of bank reserves outstanding." Do you know when he said that? 2010. Has our Federal Reserve tightened monetary? Have they raised interest rates to reduce? No. And now what we're seeing is inflation taking place. And then you couple that with great debt, we see what is happening is that our federal government is sinning in this way because we are borrowing from future generations with no intention of paying it back. Psalm 37, verse 11, "The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives." Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren are going to be passed this baton, this weight of debt that our federal government has. One man named Richard Ron said this. He's a fellow of the Cato Institute. "What is particularly frightening is that neither political party has offered a serious plan to defuse the debt bomb. The Democrats are just piling up more debt as if there were no limit, and the Republicans today are only proposing measures to reduce the increase rather than reverse it. When the debt bomb explodes within the next 1 to 3 years, expect to see record high interest rates and or inflation coupled with the collapse of many entitlements. It will be like the neutron bomb. The buildings will be left standing, but the people will not." Do you know when he said that? 2009. Nothing's changed. In fact, what's changed is the growth of debt that our country has taken on. There are other areas, false advertising by individuals, where people make promises that their product will do something, but it doesn't. Last year, the Prosperity Gospel minister down in Springfield, Missouri, Branson, Missouri, Jim Baker, promised that his health supplement would cure COVID. And people believed it. Well, the Attorney General of the Missouri took him to court, and now he has to pay $156 back in refunds for making a claim that obviously he had no business making. He was lying, and he was stealing people's money with false advertising. So we see the different areas that people steal. There's more, though. People will do anything to steal. They will use force to steal. They will use their strength or their might or use guns. That's why 1 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10 says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexual immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Swindlers here means to steal by taking possession by force. It is where you strong arm someone. It's where you pull a gun in a bank robbery or going to the convenience store. These are pirates in the good old days. Of course, there are pirates today where you go up to a ship and you take it over and steal the loot. This is where people steal cars, break them and hot wire and take it off. Or you go and steal copper from places because the copper prices. Or you break into people's homes. That you are using force to take what is not yours. The greatest way that this took place is that of man stealing. 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 11 goes through the second table of the law, and it says about for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Enslaver is one who sells a person as slaves, including one who kidnaps the person and sells them. And Exodus 21:16 says, whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him shall be put to death. And this is what the American slavery was about. In Africa, African tribes who were black would steal other Africans who were black, and they would sell them as a part of the trade, and they would end up in the United States and be sold again on at a public auction as if they were property, and then they would go to plantation farms where they might work in households. And that's what made American slavery so wicked, is because the foundation of it was of man-stealing, of thievery, but not just of a material possession, but of a person who has a soul. Today, we see this taking place in sex trafficking, unfortunately, where there's a huge business of this, of women or young ladies being stolen to be put into this, and then they are forced to stay in it for their lives. Or a biblical example, Judges 21. Remember the story that there was the civil war that took place, and the people of Israel decided that they wouldn't give their daughters to Benjamin. So Benjamin ended up having 600 men left. They were able to find some women for them. But then there were still some men, I think maybe 200 men, who didn't have wives. So they're at this crossroads. What should we do? Well, we promised and made a vow that we won't give our women to them, so we can't break that vow. God says they can't marry foreign women. So where are they going to go find a wife? And so they came up with an idea. Every year at Shiloh, people come to have these festivals. So we'll tell these Benjaminites, go to Shiloh, lay in wait, and then when you find a young lady that you like, steal her. And then when the tribes come back and say, you shouldn't steal our young ladies, we'll just tell them, well, they need young ladies, just overlook this offense. And this is always what men, their own ideas, the foolishness of man brings out. Besides stealing people, we see where people get cheated by employers because they do not get the wages that should be given to them. John and At some point, we'll get to James 5, where it says in verse 4, "Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts." So, these employers have employees, and they're not giving them the wages that they deserve. They're defrauding them and not giving them what they have earned. And they're saying that God hears their cries and knows of what they're taking place. And so to not give employees what they deserve, what they've earned for, the contract that you stated, is to defraud them. On the other hand, for an employee not to live up to his end of the bargain is to defraud your employer. To write down that you worked 40 hours when in fact you only worked 30. To take a 30-minute break when you're only allotted a 15-minute break in the morning. To take an hour and a half lunch instead of an hour lunch that you've been given. And the list goes on and on and on, where you can steal. Of course, it gets to the point where people embezzle money, where they cook the books and take money out for themselves to use personally, or maybe they use the company credit card on personal things instead of on business expenses, and then when there's some sort of audit done, they finally show that you are misappropriating funds. You are stealing. It's thievery. So this gives a landscape of different ways that we can steal. How can we fight the temptation to steal? We fight it with contentment. If we are content in the Lord and content in what we have, then we will not be tempted to steal. Luke 3, 12 through 14, it says that tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." So you have tax collectors and soldiers who come to Jesus, who believe in him, are asking, "What should we do?" And he says, "Don't use your position of authority to cheat people." Now, tax collectors were notorious in that day. Instead of charging what was the tax of the government, maybe 10%, for example, they might charge 20% and take the extra amount and pocket it themselves. And they knew it. This was the game in town. Everyone did this, and you knew that they were cheating you, but you couldn't do anything to stop it. And so what's being told to them? Stop stealing. Charge what is to be charged, nothing more. Soldiers. And how many countries with soldiers or policemen, you have to bribe them to get anything done? You have to bribe them to not arrest you. You have to bribe them to be able to get through to the other part of town. You have to bribe them so that they will not give you a ticket that you don't deserve. I mean, it goes on and on and on. That they're using their position of authority to get kickbacks from people. And Jesus is saying, no, do not use your authority for bribes. Instead, be content with your wages. Do not envy. Do not covet. Do not desire more riches and sin to get more riches by using the sword or your badge to get money that is not your own. And by doing so, you're stealing from the people you have sworn to protect. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." So a covetous heart will lead to hands that steal. A covetous heart will lead to a mind that plagiarizes. A covetous heart will lead to a person in authority who takes advantage and steals from those who are over their authority. And that's why we have to put on contentment and not covetousness. So instead of stealing time at work, we should be content with the time that we have for our breaks. Instead of cheating on tests and on homework to try to get a better grade, we should be content with God, His aptitude that He has given us and the amount of time that He has given us to study. Instead of doing insurance fraud in order to get money that we don't deserve, we should be content with the circumstances that we have. Instead of stealing music and movies online and not paying for what is copyrighted and owed, we should pay the money if we really want to look at it. Instead of going to the movie theater to film movies so we can pirate it, we should instead be content with the wages that we have. Even businesses did this. When 2008, when the housing market crash took place, predatory lenders gave loans out to people who shouldn't have received loans. And it was all because they wanted more money. And that created this bubble. On the flip side, it was shown that those mortgage loan defaults that took place, 70% of those defaults that took place, they came to the conclusion that on the original loan document that the people signed, giving information on their income, they lied about that information so that they could get the loan, so they could get a house they probably couldn't have gotten beforehand because their financial numbers would not have held up. So both people were stealing. The other was using predatory loan practices. The people who were coming to apply were cooking the books so that they could get the loan that they couldn't afford, and that created a housing market, and then the bubble burst, and then crashes fell, and it took a couple of years to start moving in the right direction. And all of this comes from a heart that is not content with what God has given us. And instead of praising, honoring, rejoicing, and loving the Lord, we're putting on discontentment. So, are you setting yourself up for temptation because you have a discontent heart today? Are you setting yourself up for temptation because you love money? Or are you having a heart that is content, that is praising, that is filled with gratitude and love for the Lord for what He has given you, and by doing so, you are not laying a trap to steal? Let's go and pray.